Astronomy and Space with David Rennick.
Hi, David. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, Brent. Good to be with you. A history being made today.
Mate, look, it says that tonight, for Australians anyway, NASA's next generation mega rocket is set to blast off on this crucial test flight to the moon. It seems funny they say a test flight to the moon when we've already been there. But it is, 50 years? Is that right? It's 50 years since we actually have put man on the moon, correct?
Goodness me, you know, 40% of the world's population weren't alive then. Isn't that amazing?
It is incredible when you think about it. What's this all about? Why are we going back to the moon with an unmanned spacecraft?
Pretty much like a brand new car when they test the Holden at Lang Lang, and Ford used to do the same thing. They'd take it out and they'd shake it down, and they'd make sure that it was okay, it'd go over all sorts of roads, and, you know, it was comfortable to drive, steering. This thing is different. This is a big rocket. This is different. We've never seen anything like it. It's massive, this thing. I stood under this, and I'd look at it. It's 320 feet tall. It weighs 18 million pounds. Now, the whole idea behind this is, and I haven't mentioned this, is it's the heat shield is what they want to test.
Right.
You can't test that here. You've got to take it outside the Earth and drop it back in again. So they thought, all right, if we're going to do that, we might as well go the whole hog and shoot it to the moon. So the idea is to shake it down to see whether the thing is going to survive the trip, whether it's going to be navigable, whether it's going to be suitable for what they want to do with the time they've got, the number of people they want to fly in there. They want to know if everything works again without having anyone on board, and that's the whole point of this. When it comes back here, it's going to plummet through the atmosphere so much, so quick, it's actually going to get almost white hot. That's a new heat shield. The whole thing is a brand new concept. Now, the only one on board is going to be Snoopy. You didn't know that, did you?
Well, when you say Snoopy, you mean as in a blow-up pilot sort of thing?
Going to be sitting in there, right? He's going to be used as a zero gravity indicator. NASA do this from time to time. It's a bit of a fun thing, but it's also going to show when they do get their vision back, it's going to show that they are definitely in zero G. Now, this is Artemis 1. There's going to be Artemis 2 and Artemis 3. This is just a rendezvous around the moon. They're going to be away for probably a month, and when it comes back here, they'll look at Artemis 2, which is putting two astronauts to the moon's orbit again. No landing. They just want to make sure that we can get them there and get them back here. Artemis 3 is the big one. This is where we were in July of 1969. Young people today are going to look back on this as we do with Apollo. So Artemis 3 will see the first woman land on the moon, Brent, as early as 2025. And when we do that, we've marked the emergence of, We've marked a break from the Apollo era to space business is there. It's in full. And the only thing after that is put bases on the moon and God knows what else we do from there.
But, now, David, it seems it's sort of an anticlimax because, as I often say to people, you know, we went to the moon 50 years ago.
Yeah, why do it again?
Yeah. And I can understand why we might go back there, but let's go back with a bang and do something completely different to what we did 50 years ago.
They are. They're going back there to put a base on the moon. They're going back there to navigate the area, to explore, to pull out the water that's there, make sure they can put the little factories they got ready to go to turn that water into rocket fuel and also turn it into breathable hydrogen. It's all a prelude to putting a full-time base there, a working base, with people on the moon and observatories as well. But keep in mind, too, that space tourism is going to want to be part of that. This is a dry run. This is to show private enterprise that, you know, we can get there and we can do it. Elon Musk is going to do the same thing very soon. The Chinese are going to copy what the Americans are doing now. Here's one thing about this mission that a lot of people don't know. The biggest problem with the Apollo mission, and they weren't told this and they should have been, the astronauts believed that that little rocket on top that can take them off, the emergency deployment rocket on top of that capsule, they're all told that would get them out of trouble if that rocket blew up on the launch pad. Well, it didn't. It couldn't, and it never did. It never worked properly, and that's one thing the Apollo astronauts weren't told. I think it's a pretty sad reflection on it. But now, this is different. They've got the escape launch system on board this capsule, the Orion capsule. Get this. If the rocket blows up on the launch pad or anything major goes wrong with it, they can be ripped off that rocket, that capsule can be pulled off that rocket, and hang on to your chair. Within 2 or 3 seconds, Brent, that's going to be moving at 500 kilometres an hour.
My goodness me, it's incredible.
That's heavy stuff, isn't it?
That's
going to knock you out, but it's better than being killed.
All right, David, we'll follow it with great interest. This is Flight 1. There's, as you say, there's 2 and there's 3 still to come. And eventually, in what, 2025, 2026, we will see a woman on the moon for the first time ever. Okay, thanks, David.
Don't forget it's on tonight. NASA TV, have a look.
Thank you, mate. Good to talk to you as always. Yep, man going back to the moon or woman going to the moon. That'll be a big thing in, 2025, 2026.